Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is by Srila Prabhupada, and we are reading from the introduction. If I'm correct, from page 7, starting from the paragraph just what is Bhagavad Gita, right? And then we continue up to the 9th page, and to this is explained in Bhagavad Gita, right? Yeah? Okay. But everybody is having the right paragraph? All right, so what we will do, we will just start reading, and as we feel inspired to say something on the things being read, and then we can elaborate on that. So Prabhupada is continuing an introduction. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? He's asking a question. The purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence. Every man is in difficulty in so many ways. As Arjuna was in difficulty in having to fight the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna surrendered unto Sri Krishna, and consequently this Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Not only Arjuna, but every one of us is full of anxieties because of this material existence. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence. Actually, we are not meant to be threatened by non-existence. Our existence is eternal. But somehow or other, we are put into asat. Asat refers to that which does not exist. So when you start reading like the first sentence, so many things are coming to mind. But then when we read further, Prabhupada is really narrowing down our possible interpretation of, you know, what this first sentence of the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to deliver mankind from the nescience of material existence. Eh? So he's narrowing down so many other options of interpretations, and he's making it very clear. Srila Prabhupada is Sadguru, Acharya in our parampara, and his... Basically, his sole and only purpose is to deliver tattva gyan, tattva vigyanam. Shri Guru, Sadguru, imparts transcendental knowledge into the hearts of, you know, the conditioned living entities in this material world. That is his purpose. So, every man is in difficulty in so many ways. We are really suffering in this material world. Prabhupada even elaborates on it further. He says, we are actually living in the atmosphere of non-existence. So the soul is really imprisoned here in a dreadful situation. You know, we are eternal living entities, Satchit Anant, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, and somehow or other, we are cast into this world of Maya, of material energy, completely conditioned and covered over by these material energies. And we are completely forgetting that we are a soul. Most people, when they get born in this Western society, or even in India, maybe nowadays, we have no information, what to speak of practical realization, that we are spirit souls and that we are meant to liberate this soul from this dreadful situation. And it is really an intense and a really cruel situation upon the soul, because we are completely forgetful. Now even we are devotees and we are trying to understand this philosophy, we are trying to understand that we are not these bodies, we are not these minds, but we are simply an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. But it is so difficult, you know. We are talking about it every day, we are thinking about it every day, we are praying about it every day. But at the end of the day, you know, when we have to be honest with ourselves, if we are really honest with ourselves, because it is very easy to think, okay, that we are spiritually realized, but if we, with some brutal honesty and some honest introspection and contemplation, then we very easily can, you know, accept that we are completely identifying with our bodies and with our minds. And then Prabhupada says, this is the very atmosphere of non-existence. And we don't truly realize the dreadful position that we are in. But if we would, we do something about it. But days are passing, weeks are passing, years are passing, and you know, we're feeling quite all right here in the material world. Acharyas have told this story that really your hair is on fire, and you know, some man is telling you your hair is on fire, but that man whose hair is on fire, he's saying, I'm okay, you know, doing quite all right, you know, the sun is shining, you know, I'm having a good time, I'm having a good day. But that is our condition, you know, really. Our head is on fire, we're living in this material world, identifying with mind and body. And then Sadhu Guru is coming and he's saying it's not really such a bad situation. But then we're saying, okay, we're quite all right. But then we would say, no, I'm not saying that. But really we are saying that, you know, by being complacent, by not being really internally sincere and serious, by basically not crying every moment to Krishna, to Guru and Krishna, to being purified, being liberated from this situation. By not doing that, we are giving a statement to Guru and Krishna that we're doing quite all right in this material world. And like this, you know, we're spending our lives doing our little bhajan, doing our little seva. But inside, you know, this deep anxiety, this deep worry that, you know, I'm living here, I have to get out of this place, I have to really be completely and fully surrendered to Guru and Krishna, it's not really genuinely strongly manifesting in the heart. You know, and that is a serious problem. The problem is so serious even that we can't acknowledge the seriousness of this problem. And then we're really a little bit lost and doomed, you know. So that's why Krishna spoke his Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna to wake him up. Because Arjuna, he was of a very high caliber, he had a very nice qualification, and he could understand that something was wrong. You know, but he couldn't do it himself. He couldn't solve his problem, you know. He could not, be situated in the glory of his soul and in transcendental knowledge. He needed help. You know, such a qualified person, you know, Vedic Kshatriya, and he could not free himself, help himself. He needed help from Krishna. And that's exactly our position. You know, there is no sadhana siddha in this age. We are not nitya siddhas, you know. And there is no sadhana siddha in this age, so there is only kripa siddha. So we are fully dependent upon the mercy of Krishna and Sri Guru for them to free us, to liberate us, you know. And how that happens? When Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is really non-different from Krishna. It is an expansion of Krishna's transcendental energies, of Krishna's transcendental knowledge, you know. By speaking this Gita, by hearing this Gita from bona fide source, from pure devotees, we can liberate the soul from this dreadful position. We can completely free ourselves. You know, but it is a very, very serious process in which in the beginning the emphasis is on purification. And then, you know, hopefully this transcendental knowledge, which is transcendental, means which is non-different from Krishna, should enter our heart. And this is the basis of a revolution of consciousness, of a new life, of really a life of service to Krishna, completely absent from false ego and from material desires, and completely centered and focused upon only giving pleasure to Guru and Krishna, you know, and withstanding all the tests Guru and Krishna are giving us, which are only the anarthas in our heart, you know, which they are trying to have purified in this way. So that is the seriousness of this process of Bhagavad Gita and of transcendental knowledge indifference. And that is also the way we should approach it, that transcendental knowledge is non-different from Krishna, and it is to be received through the ear, in the heart. There it is to be really consolidated by constant watering. Svakata Krishna Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya. No? Yeah? By constant service. It is a service. You know, every day we come to Bhagavatam class and Bhagavad Gita class to serve the Bhagavatam, to cry for mercy, to have, you know, Krishna ultimately established in our heart in this way. Transcendental knowledge changes the heart, you know. Whatever is theoretical in the beginning, the mood of surrender, the humility, the pridelessness, the transcendental knowledge and inspiration to completely surrender and serve to Krishna. Okay, all of these things, they're very much theoretical in the beginning. And this greatest problem is this influence of jnana, jnana mishra bhakti. So what we do, you know, we think about these things in our mind, in our intelligence, we contemplate about these things, and then we think, okay, I'm practicing it, you know, I'm humble, you know, I'm surrendering to Krishna. But then we're so dishonest with ourselves that the next moment we're completely bewildered by Maya, you know, we are completely misbehaving with other devotees, we're completely proud and arrogant in so many ways, and then we simply forget about that, we're not conscious about that. So we have a very, very selective memory, you know, in that way. And that is typical of this theoretical platform. Very dangerous platform, because we're conscious of what we do good, what we try to do good, and we think it's really spiritually based, although it is on a very, still very conditional, superficial platform. And then when we misbehave, you know, then, you know, we tend not to be conscious about that. You know, and that is also such a dangerous position that needs to be completely smashed, you know, by devotees who can perceive this in our direct association, you know, guru or shiksha guru or devotees whom we trust who are a little bit more conscious and pure than us. And that's constant a test, you know, because many of, when you're serious, okay, when you're really serious, you want Krishna, Krishna will give you such association, and that association will point several things out to you. You know, but then, are you going to accept it or not? Huh? It's always a bit of a challenge, a test, you know, because we were in this illusion, you know. But we, you know, are fortunate enough to place faith in these persons, and have faith in what they say, and really act upon what they say by praying about these things, and further situating ourselves in the process, and really at a certain point in time, acknowledging that we are nowhere, you know, that we have no bhakti, already we have no karma because our backgrounds are useless, we have no jnana, whatever jnana we have is very insufficient to what the jnanis need to become liberated, and we have no tapasya, we have you know, what qualification we have, we have no bhakti, then at least, okay, I may not have these things, at least I have bhakti. But, you know, what is bhakti? Bhakti means that you have a relationship with Krishna, that you know Krishna, you know? Krishna is your friend, you know? You can see him, he will talk to you, you know? If you have bhakti, Krishna is with you. So, we don't have anything. Acknowledging that first. And then, you know, you will become depressed. And many devotees may like try to think of quitting this process. But this is really the first platform where there is some little hope, you know? Now there is really hope. And then, you know, we have a very realistic basis now with our 2 feet on the ground, and then we can really beg for mercy, and the mercy comes down. No sadhana siddha this age, okay? Only kripa siddha. The mercy, kripa, it comes from up to down. It doesn't, you know, come to us in any other way. You know, it comes from Krishna, Paramatma in the heart, Guru, external manifestation, pure devotees. External manifestations of Krishna and his mercy Shakti, Kripa Shakti. And that we need to receive in our heart through the process of hearing Krishna Katha, Hari Katha. That is mercy. So that is what Prabhupada is saying, that which saved Arjuna, that is what is going to save us also, you know. And we, you know, this is really the challenge of any spiritual community, to really create a sangha based upon these principles, you know. That is really the challenge, you know. Not like only going through the motions, but really creating such a sangha where there is so much sincerity and purity and confidence that this can happen, you know. It requires so much trust, you know. If you're opening yourselves, you know, like for other devotees to help you, you know, if you really want, you know, that kind of work to be done in your heart, and then if you're not very careful, and that other devotee, you know, he may maybe act upon some false ego, then the whole thing becomes spoiled. Then we're going to say, I'm not going to do this two times. But then we're closing up ourselves and do what we have to do and going through the motions again. It won't help us, you know. So that's why acharyas have said that you know, in association of devotees, these offenses should be avoided, and we should be very careful, very humble. Better be on the safe side than on the sorry side. And of course, we have all an arthas, but still approach each and every devotee with some due respect, you know, and not mess up things in that way. So we'll just continue to read. The problem is that once you start speaking about these things, then, you know, you don't know where to end. And so I don't know how we're going to arrive at page 9, but try to do our best. Huh? What time we generally stop? Huh? Yeah. All right. Huh? Okay, then we will. All right. Out of so many human, actually the nicest part is still coming, but it's in the next paragraph. Out of so many human beings who are suffering, there are a few who are actually inquiring about their position. See, we just discussed this. It requires great fortune to inquire about your position, to become sober. As to what they are. What they are put into this, why they are put into this awkward position, and so on. Unless one is awakened to this position of questioning his suffering, unless he realizes that he doesn't want suffering, but rather wants to make a solution to all suffering, then one is not considered to be a perfect human being. So we're only talking human platform here, you know. So away with the illusions, away with the clouds in our minds, you know. Very realistic and true perspective on our own. That is mercy. That is great mercy. And many times we haven't even reached there. So Prabhupada is saying this is the beginning platform, as we just also concluded that we need to become sobered out first, purified first, have a very realistic perspective on ourselves, and basically come to the conclusion that we have nothing. You know, we have no karma, no jnana, no bhakti. And then inquire into our position. Because then we are offering an empty pot to Krishna. Acharyas have said that. You're going to Krishna with a pot filled to the brim with dirt. Here, Krishna, give me mercy. But the pot of our heart is filled to the brim with dirt. And what is that? That dirt? Mental speculation. So many illusions. You know? Identifications with mind and body. Everything that goes along with it. But we have to offer Krishna an empty pot. And how that pot becomes empty? We cannot empty it. Our ahankar will, false ego will completely not allow that. That requires mercy. That also comes through the process of hearing. You know. So first purification, first Krishna manifests himself as Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu, with the plow purifying the heart. Then later on he attracts with the flute, you know. And the pot is empty, he can pour in the mercy. Humanity begins when this sort of inquiry is awakened in one's mind. In the Brahma Sutra, this inquiry is called Brahma Jigyasa, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Every activity of the human being is to be considered a failure unless he inquires about the nature of the Absolute. Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering, or where they came from, and where they shall go after death, are proper students for understanding Bhagavad Gita. A sincere student should also have a firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a student was Arjuna. Because what we're talking about here, we're talking about Krishna filling up that pot, Krishna filling up the heart with transcendental knowledge. It doesn't require much effort from Krishna to do that. One word is enough. Krishna, you know, or Hare Krishna, you know, or one Bhagavatam lecture or Gita lecture is enough. It's enough to become fully realize. It's enough to have Krishna revealed, because this transcendental knowledge is non-different from Krishna. It reveals Krishna, but it's not happening because we are not perfectly qualified yet. You know, that's why It requires a continuous process on our side, you know. Nityam Bhagavata Sevya, continuously hearing and chanting about Krishna and doing that in this mood, you know. Not just like doing it because we have to do it, also that's part of it, but we really want to enter it. We really want to do it for Guru Krishna's pleasure, for their pleasure. That's a revolution in motivation, you know. Not for our pleasure. You know, our purification is for their pleasure. If we have to suffer because of that, that's for their pleasure. And really develop this mood. Pray for this mood. You know, this mood is mercy. We cannot grab this mood. Our intelligence cannot simulate, configure this mood. It has to be given. It's a pure gift from Guru and Krishna. This mood, simply this realization of what it means to do things for their pleasure. You know, and we cry and cry for that. If we get it, we're blessed. You know, even if we get it for like a little bit, you know. Some moments, we have something, you know, now if you have a reference point, then you say, oh my God, what I was doing before was nonsense. Then, you know, once you get higher experience, you have a reference point to everything you were doing before. And you can build upon that, you know, it destroys the illusion. You know, it keeps you going. You know, you can build and pray further upon that. And that's how ultimately it should blossom in the heart. Lord Krishna descends specifically to re-establish the real purpose of life when man forgets that purpose. Even then, out of many, many human beings who awaken, there may be one who actually enters the spirit of understanding his position. Eh? Prabhupada is saying out of many, there may be one who really, truly, properly receives this understanding through submissive hearing. It's not a cheap thing, you know, but we should think, why not me, you know, why not me, if that one could be me, it would be nice. So that should be our intensity, but at the same time, we should realize that it's not a cheap process, that's something very rare, and sometimes we forget that, you know, especially when we go through the motions of everything Prabhupada gave us, and we're not really intensely understanding and aspiring for things in this way. Then we are actually one of these many, you know, and not this one who is truly receiving it. All these things should, you know, bang us a little bit and shock us a little bit and put things into perspective. Actually, we are all swallowed by the tigers of nescience, but the Lord is very merciful upon living entities, especially human beings. To this end, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, making his friend Arjuna his student. Being an associate of Lord Krishna, Arjuna was above all ignorance, but Arjuna was put into ignorance on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just to question Lord Krishna about the problems of life, so that the Lord could explain them for the benefit of future generations of human beings, and chalk out the plan of life. Then man could act accordingly and perfect the mission of human life. So we are like Arjuna, we are living in a position like Arjuna. Yeah? And Gita was spoken for us. The subject of the Bhagavad Gita entails the comprehension of five basic truths. First of all, the science of God is explained, and then the constitutional position of the living entities, jivas. There is Ishvara, which means the controller, and there are jivas. So these five, actually, they constitute what? They constitute transcendental knowledge. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, you know. Krishna's body is made out of Sat, Chit, Anand, you know. So we are not going to see Krishna at first. You know, Krishna's, you know, this transcendental knowledge is a manifestation of Krishna spiritually directly, and when it's, you know, existing in sound, in Krishna Katha, that is how it is established in the heart. It purifies first, and then it establishes tattva vijnanam. It establishes proper understanding of how to practice devotional service, and the practice of devotional service ultimately reveals Krishna. You see? So how a conditioned soul is connected with Krishna through the process of hearing and receiving it through the ear in the heart. You know, that's why it is stressed upon so much. And by hearing Gita, which contains these five basic truths, you know, we are actually directly hearing Krishna. So Krishna is such a great scientist, you know, of how to save the fallen conditioned souls. It's a very scientific process. So Ishvara and Jiva, the living entities which are controlled. If a living entity says that he is not controlled but that he is free, then he is insane. The living being is controlled in every respect, at least in his conditioned life. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter deals with the Ishvara, the supreme controller, and the Jivas, the controlled living entities. Prakriti, material nature, and time, the duration of existence of the whole universe, are the manifestation of material nature, and karma, activity, are also discussed. The cosmic manifestation is full of different activities. All living entities are engaged in different activities. From Bhagavad Gita we must learn what God is, what living entities are, what Prakriti is, what the cosmic manifestation is, how it is controlled by time, and what the activities of the living entities are. Out of these five basic subject matters in Bhagavad Gita, it is established that the Supreme Godhead or Krishna or Brahman or the Supreme Controller or Paramatma, you may use whatever name you like, is the greatest of all. The living beings are in quality like the Supreme Controller. For instance, the Lord has control over the universal affairs of material nature, as will be explained in the later chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is not independent. She is acting under the directions of the Supreme Lord. As Lord Krishna says, Mayadhya Akshena Prakriti Sayate Sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction. It's a very interesting point, you know. The material nature is working under Krishna's direction. It means that our mind and our body is working under Krishna's direction. And still, you know, we waste so much time and energy trying to control our mind and our body and our senses, isn't it? But we should let Krishna do that work. Krishna is Rishikesh, master of the mind and senses. We should know... We're finishing things. When we see wonderful things happening in the cosmic nature, we should know that behind this cosmic manifestation there is a controller. Nothing could be manifested without being controlled. It is childish not to consider the controller. For instance, a child may think that an automobile is quite wonderful to be able to run without a horse or an other animal pulling it. But a sane man knows the nature of the automobile's engineering arrangement. He always knows that behind the machinery there is a man, a driver. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the driver under whose direction everything is working. Now the Jivas, or the living entities, have been accepted by the Lord, as we will note in the later chapters, as his parts and parcels. A particle of gold is also gold. A drop of water from the ocean is also salty. And similarly, we, the living entities, being part and parcel of the Supreme Controller, Ishvara or Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, have all the qualities of the Supreme Lord in minute quantity, because we are minute Ishvaras, subordinate Ishvaras. We are trying to control nature, as presently we are trying to control space or planets. And this tendency to control is there because it is in Krishna. But although we have a tendency to lord it over material nature, we should know that we are not the Supreme Controller. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yes. I think it's time to stop now. Any comments? Questions, Prabhu? Yeah. What do you say? Yes. And then Samvit Sandini Ladini. Right, Madhu Gopal Prabhu? That is the Samvit Sandini Ladini. So these are the like on a more higher level, the names of the energies. Yeah. So these are the internal energy, the internal energy, the Devi Prakriti constitutes out of these three energies, and through them, Krishna is revealed. So we should also know that the process of devotional service of bhakti is a transcendental process. Which means that from Adau Shraddha to Krishna Prema, everything is supposed to be a manifestation of these energies, which is supposed to be transcendental. So when we are truly surrendering to Krishna and serving Krishna, we are transcendentally situated in a liberated condition, you know, above the influence of the mind and the senses. And that is really the test of devotional service, if you're serving Krishna, yes or no. Yeah. That's the best thing to do. We are also not the controller of the holy name. Not that we are using the holy name to control our mind and our senses. No, we are the servant of the holy name. We are begging, crying to the holy name that our mind and senses may be purified and controlled by his mercy. It's a whole different mood, you know. Yeah, but that is to be revealed in the heart of how to do that. Otherwise our chanting is completely on our own strength, and it's not bhakti, you know. It's not bhakti, it's something else. It's under the modes of material nature. So we're not getting purified. We're just like, you know, standing in one place. Because there is only Kripa Siddha, there is only mercy in this age, there is only bhakti. So if we're not doing bhakti, we're just wasting our time. Basically, you're just chanting. You will get some punya, and Krishna may fulfill some material desires. Nama parat. It coincides with nama parat. It's nama parat. Yeah. Alright, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Taigor Premanande. Hari Hari. No. We should.